Genesis chapter 1. Today we're going to talk about power. And you know, there's power in lots of works that God does, but I wasn't planning on going here, but during the worship time, I just felt like God said, go to Genesis 1. It's like, oh yeah, a great demonstration of power. And so we're going to talk about the power, which comes from the Greek word dunamos, which means dynamite or dynamite power. And you know, God wants us to be full of his power. He doesn't want us to rely on our own self. He doesn't want to rely on what we have to offer. He wants us to rely on his power and his authority. And when that takes place, it's amazing how God can do some amazing things that need to be done that God has already designed for us to do, and we have to learn to do that. And along with that, being dunamis, it means miraculous or mighty strength or able to perform or power through God's ability. And I don't know about you, but there isn't a single thing that any of you would bring here today that God couldn't change. I don't care how long you've had it. I don't care how difficult it's been. There isn't one thing that you could bring to God today. He would say, nope, I can't do that today. Because there's power in his name. And, you know, it's interesting that if you had a power saw and a hand saw, and all the time you had electricity sitting by this power saw, but you consistently grabbed that hand saw and went, and you've done that for a long, long time. All the time you have this power saw, you could plug it in and go, that's what it's like when we come to God and there's this power that God has. And I pray for myself and for you that we'll learn to grab onto that dunamis power, that power that comes from heaven, to help us in this walk that God has given us so that we can accomplish more by doing it through God rather than doing it by ourselves. If we learn to do it with God's help, I promise you, we'll continue to make great inroads in what God wants done. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of Genesis, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, power. God saw that the light was good, and it separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be expanse between the waters to separate the water from the water, from water. So God made an expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters, and he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit and seed in it, and according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and a lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate from light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with the living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And so God created the creatures, the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing of which the water teems. according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the air and the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work they had been doing. So the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Father, this morning we want to thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that with your word there's power. Lord, we ask this morning that it would be evident that the power of God is here. More and more and more. Let there be an increase of your power to do what needs to be done, to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, so that everything that is needed to be done this day, and not only in this body, but in each and every individual's lives, will be done today by your power, by your authority, by the work of your hands, Lord, foreordained before this day ever came to be. And so, Father, we want to thank you and praise you. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct my lips this morning, my thoughts and my words, that I would not speak of my own selfishness, but I would speak only that which is of the Spirit, because we know that the Spirit and the Word of God together bring life. Lord, we're interested in life. We're interested in growing and learning and hearing and ultimately doing everything that you ask. And so this morning we want your blessing on this time. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As we looked and read about creation, it's obvious that there was power that God used. When God can take something out of nothing and make it, it's amazing. There was no earth, there was nothing, and he just spoke. He spoke it into existence. I tell you, the words that we have the ability to create. If you're having a bad day, I can speak a word of encouragement to him, all of a sudden his day gets better. I've just created something in him through words that he can make it. That's the power of words. One word from God can change my life today or change yours. All God's got to do is speak one word, and it can literally transform your life. Why? Because it has life in it. God never speaks death. He speaks life. He speaks life into you. It's what he longs desire. Long as we're here, why would he speak death into me? Other than out of disobedience. I bring that upon myself. But God's intentions is to bring life. When I look at you, I should speak life. When I look at someone I don't know, I should speak life. When I look at my president, I should speak life. That's really hard. But God told me to pray for him. It's in God's word, so you better be careful what you say. Because what goes around comes around. And if you don't want it said back to you, you better not say it. So God has given us the power to speak life. And as we speak life, we shouldn't be surprised that it produces something that can't be done any other way. And so God wants to continually to demonstrate his power. Now, God could literally come down here today without any of us believing anything today, and he could demonstrate everything he wanted to do without us ever agreeing with him. He could do that. But he won't. You know why? Because he needs you. He needs your faith. He needs my faith. Because faith pleases him. And if we don't ever consistently activate our faith, God is going to be limited by what he can do. You remember the town that Jesus went to and he said he couldn't do any miracles? Why? Because there was no faith. Unbelief. God's hand was literally stopped because of unbelief. That tells me God's respective, or very respectful, should say, to what we want. And if I don't want God to touch my life, he'll respect that. But if I want God, he'll respect that too, because he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I have a part in this. Even James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to me. Where's the responsibility lie? On us. And so if I consistently walk through my life just existing in life, not longing or desiring for what God wants, I shouldn't be surprised that I'm not seeing much. Because God wants me to desire. He wants me to long. Thank goodness for the prayers of others. Because many times the prayers of others is what God is orchestrating as well. When someone comes to your mind and you begin to pray for them, that's a prayer to help you along, even though you don't want it, or may not like it, or may not desire it. It's something that happens because God longs for you and I to see that he is good, and he has this power and authority to do what needs to be done. Now, there's some things in God's word that demonstrate this power. One of them is the spoken word. When God spoke, things happened. Things were created. Things were made out of nothing. If that doesn't tell us that God has power, I don't know what does. But we have this authority that God has given us to begin to speak not only what God would say, but also speak his word. There's this word of God that God has given us that we can speak. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is foolishness to who? To those that are perishing. Do you want to know why most churches this morning are sitting half to three-fourths empty? Because the world doesn't see the cross as something they need. Let's just be honest. If they did, they would recognize from God's word where they should be on days when God brings people together. God is going to continue to bring people together in churches. Why? To build and establish you into the body of Christ so that you can be a force together with the body to accomplish anything that needs to be done against the enemy. Now, here's my question to the people that like to stay home. When did God tell you to stay home? There may be a time when God says, I need you to stay home. He could do that. But from what I read in God's word, I don't see that very often. So I have to look, if I wasn't a pastor and I was sitting in your seat, would I consistently go and be a part of a church? I have to ask myself that because Right now, I don't have much for an option. This is what I do. But I would like to think, in the depths of my heart, and the desire of my heart to want to honor God, that I would be in the seat where, in the church where God wanted me to be. No matter if somebody's there that offends me or not. No matter if there's somebody there that I don't like or not. It really doesn't matter, because if God told me to go, He knows about the person that I don't like there. So I have to really come to the place of getting to the place where God says, this is where I need you, Jeff. I need you here. And if you are there, then you can hear what God's saying. If you're not there, I believe you will have a hard time hearing God. Why? Because of disobedience. God doesn't want to consistently share Himself with someone who's going to prostitute themselves with something else of the world. Go have a fling with the world. Go ahead and do whatever the world wants them to do. But when God asks, oh no, I'm too busy. Got things to do, people to see, places to go. And if you haven't been here in a while, I didn't plan on talking about this, I'll be honest with you. I planned on talking about the power of God, but I really have to come to the place where I look at the reality as this. If God wants me to be a part of the body of Christ, and I'm going to watch the power of God be demonstrated in my own life, can you imagine what wouldn't have happened today if some of us wouldn't have been here to watch the three people that needed a miracle? Or four, or how many was it needed healing? Five. But that all took place because of all of us here, not just one. All of us together. Agreeing by faith with what God's word says, that we could bring our needs and our challenges and things that we need miracles for to before Him and watch God do great and mighty things. Because there's power when God draws His people together to do the same work that He's wanting done, and it's that miraculous dunamis power that God brings. It's the ability for God to perform. Well, sometimes when we talk about church, we don't like to talk about performance. But when God performs a miracle, I don't know about you, I get excited. When God performs a work that couldn't be done any other way, I get excited. So I'm not so concerned about God putting on a show as I am concerned about wanting to see the power of God demonstrated right before our eyes. And if you think about it, I wonder how often the disciples prayed for things and never saw something happen. Doesn't really say. But it does say that when they went out, the Holy Spirit went with them, and there was people healed, delivered, set free. All kinds of things took place. Wasn't that amazing? So shouldn't that be the same thing that happens here today? Of course. I agree with that, because that's why God brings us together. Now here's the thing. If Lyle gets, or let's just use Glenn because we prayed for him. If Glenn gets healed today, I shouldn't say, you are healed, I should say, yeah. Not if. But Glenn got touched today. What, you all already know what happened in his life today, because he'll testify. If you ask him, say, is your back hurt? Nope. Walking on the level, because the Lord lengthened his legs out and brought him into alignment. So now when he walks out these doors today, what can he go and tell somebody happened at church? I was healed. Really? I didn't know God did that anymore. And there'll be a lot of people that'll testify, I've never seen a miracle in my life. That is sad to say, because many of those people you and I talk to will be going to churches today. And they'll never see a miracle. Why? I don't know. I don't want to be one of those churches. I want to be a church where when God says, this is what you need to do, He does it. And we watch the power of God manifest right before our eyes. My dad literally was down in Sioux Falls at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. He was down there, and they were praying for a guy who had his arm in a cast. As they prayed, the cast shattered. Right before their eyes. I would love to see something like that. Or amongst a thousand other things. But for whatever reason, there's power in the name of Jesus. And we need to realize that with God comes this work of authority and this work of power that manifests in different realms. When God spoke, there was power, there was authority. Here, when we says, when there's the word of God is power, or the cross, I should say, is power to those that are not perishing. To those that are not perishing, it is the power of God. So the cross has power to do what needs to be done. The message of the cross is foolishness to some, but to those that are being saved, it is the power of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, which is basically good news, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. The gospel is the power. You see, here's the reality. Most people are not moved by my opinion. I could share my opinion all day long and they won't be moved. But when the gospel is shared, all of a sudden there's something that happens in the heavenlies that allows the power of God to flow. Why? Because God's power always flows through his spoken word, his written word, and faith. Always moves freely with those three. Always moves freely. And so as I surrender to the work of God and I share the good news of the gospel, what's going to happen? Power is going to begin to manifest to those that are touched by it. They're going to be saved. What? From what? From sin, hell, death, and the grave. There's going to be a work that's done that can't be done any other way. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby you must be saved. So when salvation comes and the gospel is being preached, guess what takes place? There's a power that goes forth that begins to shatter the darkness that has caused men to be blind and can't see, so that they can open their eyes and they can see this gospel and say, I need to be saved. There's a power of the gospel. So don't be so quick to share your opinion, because people may or may not take it. But when you share the gospel, you'll probably get the same response. But the power and the authority that goes forth when you share the good news of the gospel is unlike any other. So we have to learn how to share the gospel. We need to be ready to share the good news of the gospel. And I'll promise you, it's not down to a method. You know how many people got saved when Jesus did miracles? He didn't go there and say, well, today you got to repent of your sin, and then you got to confess, and then you got to confess Jesus Christ, and then you got to believe in your heart. He didn't go through all that. He did a miracle, and because of the miracle, or he did something that took place, why? Because he was presenting the good news of the gospel. He was sharing something that took place in people's lives, and we have to remember that God is not a method. God is a work of a spirit by his power, that when we speak or do what God is asking to do, it begins to speak life. And once there's life, then all of a sudden there's this birthing of something that wasn't there before. And all of a sudden it begins to grow. And when it begins to grow, the Holy Spirit brings people like you and I across the path so we can water. Where's my water? I needed water right now. So I could water the seed that God put there. So God begins to do this work in us. And you are valuable to that work. And if you aren't overflowing with what God has in you, then you're going to begin to dip out of your own life to give to someone else. And that's not what God created you to do. God created you to give out of the overflow or the abundance of your life. And when you and I learn to give out of the abundance of what's happening, then you and I will begin to experience more and more what's taking place. But here's the problem I see in Christendom, and it has been that way for a long time. Many people have nothing or very little to offer because they're not overflowing themselves. You want to know what the number one problem in most churches is today? I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. two basic things that should be like, like eating Snickers. Yes, thank you. No, but like eating. Two basic things that nothing in my day should ever crowd that out. It's almost like the vitamins you take. It's almost like the things that we go through in everyday life to make sure that we make it. I mean, every single morning, I wake up. One of the first things I do is grab a glass, and I drink a glass of water. I drink a glass of orange juice, and I make coffee. Every single morning. It's tradition at my house. I am a traditionalist. I get a glass of water, I get a glass of orange juice, and I go and make coffee. Every single morning. If there's one that I don't do that, it's rare. Where's God come in that picture? Every single day, whether it's morning, noon, or night, I really don't care, because some people like to read at night. That's fine with me. That don't matter. But every single day, am I traditionalist enough to say, God, I've got this time blocked out of my life for you, and it's all about you. You got it all. That's the number one issue that's been in Christendom for a long, long time. Why? How else are we going to survive? How else am I going to live? How else am I going to have something to overflow out of my life? The other day, I was looking at some ads on Tradio. And I don't do that very often unless I kind of feel inspired. And I say, Lord, if you think I need something, I'll get it. Because the last things I bought, I ended up giving them away because he told me never. He said, I said, Lord, how come I can't sell these things? He says, because I didn't tell you to buy them. So he asked me to give them away, so I ended up giving them away. So now I've kind of learned a little bit more. So the other day I've always wanted, Lyle and Carol have let us borrow one of these walk-behind weed trimmers on wheels, you know, you can, you know, go around. Well, there just happened to be one on this guy that had this one, and nobody had responded to him. And I'm going, oh, that's kind of odd. I thought they were kind of popular. So I called him up and said, you still got it? He said, yep. I said, okay. Called Lyle to ask him a few questions because there were some things that were I didn't know how to answer. And so he says, well, just offer him a certain amount and see what happens. So I offer him an amount, and sure enough, he took it. So I said, well, I'll meet you tonight. So I drove up to his house, found out where it was, and I'm sitting there, and it's like, I don't know what, something's up with this. They pull in with two cars, and the first thing he tells me is, I'm sorry I'm late. My wife just had cervical cancer removed. And I'm going, I get it. I get it. You had me drive all the way up here to get a trimmer I kind of always wanted, only to meet this person right here. That was what it was for. And I'm going, okay. So we made the transaction, and because they had a long travel, they walked right in their house and didn't have a whole lot to say with them, but I did just talk to them just a tiny bit. So then because we had communicated through phone, I texted him and I said, hey, this is Jeff. I just bought you. And I said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And he wasn't very long, and he wrote back and he said, thank you. You don't know what that means. So now I've got more time to connect again through another little text. And all of that was not because of what I wanted, but because God lined up a certain instance in life so that they could possibly see the power of God. Not me. The world doesn't need to see me. The world needs to see the power of God. So as we step forth into doing what God's created us to do, it's important that we learn to surrender to the work of His hand so that the world can see this dunamis, miraculous, able to perform power through God's ability, not through ours, so that this can literally take hold. And I'll be honest with you. I firmly believe they'll be in a church in Devil's Lake very quickly. I really do. Chances are they're not going to drive 40 miles to come to church. But because of being able to plug them into something, we can plug them in. Why? Because they don't go right now, probably. But that's okay. That's where they're at. You can't condemn people for where they're at. You can only inspire them to take another step. Because the moment you point your finger, you've just lost your ability to speak into their life. But if you walk alongside of them, come here. You walk alongside of them and you help them. You walk through, oh, you're a little bit weak there. You better get some meat on these bones. You help them out pretty soon. Pretty soon you can help them do what they couldn't do by themselves. And who else is reaching out? Everybody that can't wait to speak a word against them. So the church needs to learn how to walk alongside and encourage and build and strengthen. Turn over to the last scripture. I take that. I got two left. Isaiah 55. I love this scripture. Isaiah 55. I'm assuming my time is really scooted by, but verse 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and does not return to it without watering the earth and makes it bud and flourish, and so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. Interesting, he says, my word goes out from my mouth. Or he says, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what it would desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Powerful stuff, what God says in his word. Powerful stuff. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. After Jesus had rose from the dead and showed himself to over 500 people, verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, it says, on the occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift, for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When you get saved, there's a power that lies within you that talks about salvation. You realize you're saved. You're set free from the tactics of the enemy. But if that's all we needed, why did Jesus take his own disciples and send them to a place where they would go to the upper room and wait for the power to come upon them? If that's all we needed was just something in us, then why did he tell them to go get something upon them? So when he spoke to them, he says, now go and wait in Jerusalem. So they waited. In the process of waiting, the length of days that they waited up there for the Holy Spirit to come, it was a while. And as they waited, all of a sudden, one day, it was like tongues of fire, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, that came upon them. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. It wasn't something that they made up. It was something that was designed by the work of the Spirit. Now, why did they need that power upon them? In Acts 1:8, it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the power or the promise that has been given you so that you'll be my witnesses. Where? In four different places. Is it three or four? Three. Witnesses. So why did Jesus come in me? To save me, first of all, but secondly, to be a witness. And if I can't talk about Jesus outside of this church, then I would encourage you to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you so that you would have power to witness and be able to speak out of what you know about Jesus Christ. In the process of that, you'll want to go home and get to know your Bible. Because if you've ever visited with somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about, it's really kind of funny. Honestly, I've had people come up to me and they visit with me for a little bit and they say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. Oh, I just love God. Yeah, he's, oh yeah, right. And they give me this big long story that doesn't match up with Scripture, and it's like, God, that's interesting. So when you aren't able to converse about something you really know, it's really kind of frustrating. Because you give people a wrong impression of who God is. And so the best thing for myself and for you today is to make sure that we get in this word and this word gets in us, so that once it gets in us, it has the power and the potential to come out of us and to speak words of life. If there's anything in my life today that takes precedence over getting to know Jesus Christ and getting to know his word, I need to dethrone it and allow it to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you and I will continue to go through doing whatever we do every Sunday and maybe have a few great experiences throughout the years of just doing that, when all the time God says, if you just plug in the saw, you'll be able to go, you'll have power. Instead of trying to manufacture and trying to work and just trying to get, it's so hard to be a Christian. Some days it is. But if you go over there and you plug it in and you get resource from heaven, all depends on how you cut. But I don't know about you, but that's what he's offered. If God offers it, why not take it? Why not get all the power and all the help you can get? Why not receive all that he has, so that when you walk, you can walk with the power and the authority that God has inside of you, not you. Once again, the world doesn't need more of you and me. It needs what's out of the overflow of my relationship within, you know, what's in me. And so I have to consistently go back to him, because I'm full of cracks and holes. Everything that happens inside of me kind of has a way of leaking out if I'm not careful. The older I get, the more I understand. Naturally, that is. But the reality is that there's cracks and holes in my life, and so I need to consistently go back to God and get filled up more and more, filled up more and more, filled up more and more, and I won't be able to accomplish much unless I have the overflow of that relationship. If you're frustrated in your walk today, I'll just encourage you to take something out of your life that you traditionally do and replace it with something of God. Reading his word, praying, talking to him. Give him that time. Watch him develop something inside of you that you can't get any other way. Because there is no shortcuts. There is no other way. And this morning, if you've never spoken tongues or never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I really encourage you to do that. I really do. And it's not hard. We've made it hard, but it's really not hard. The reason we've made it hard is because we think that God's going to come down and make my lips go. When God says, no, you have to speak. If I told Tyler to speak in Spanish, he would probably give me some kind of a lingo that he's learned just a little bit, right? Como esta, you know, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, you haven't learned any yet. Don't you read the directions or anything? It's Spanish, French, you know, Norwegian. No, I'm just kidding. But God literally will come and he'll fill you, and out of you will flow this gift. He said it was a gift. I didn't. He said it's a gift. His word said it's a gift. And he gave it to me so I could pray in tongues, so that I could pray without using my mind. And it comes out of my spirit. When it comes out of my spirit, it prays perfectly everything I don't understand. So literally this morning, we could have had anybody raise their hand and say, I need prayer today. All of us could have went into praying in tongues and it would have been met just like that. Why? Because our spirit prayed perfectly for the need that was there. That's it. So that's a wonderful joy of the gifts of God. A lot of people have given God a bad rap about that, but you know what? You know how many people died in car accidents yesterday? What are you going to drive home? Just because somebody misused something doesn't mean you don't use it. Somebody used a pencil yesterday to stab somebody. You going to quit using pencils now? No. Just because somebody told something about speaking in tongues that's not in Scripture doesn't mean you can't speak in tongues. But remember, that's not the only power God has. He has the power of the tongue. He has the power of faith. He has the power of the Holy Spirit. And he has the power of his word. All wrapped up in this one work of God. So don't limit yourself to what God can do. Let's pray. Father, this morning, one of the greatest works I believe that you want to continue to do in the days to come is to watch the body of Christ be full of power. Power to do exactly what your word says, without any excuses, without any grumblings, without any other thing that would come across our way that would absolutely try to destroy your word. And so this morning I pray that your word is very clear. You have given us power. You've given us power to do miraculous and powerful things just like the disciples and the apostles did. And Lord, I just know that today is another day that you want that to manifest. And so Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would just continue to fill each and every one here so that we're overflowing into each other's lives today. And that when we go home, we'll overflow into each other's lives, into our neighbors, into our business people, and all over the world, so that what needs to be done inside of us can overflow into the other lives that we touch. So, Lord, we ask for that power to manifest even here again this morning. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the spoken word, the power of faith. That if somebody still needs a miracle, they can get it today before they leave. Because we agree with your word. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone that wants to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, that they'll be filled today. They'll just begin to speak by faith and speak in that unknown language. That they can pray and be the best part is the devil has no clue what we're saying. He doesn't understand tongues because he's not born of the Spirit. So thank you, Lord, for a weapon against the enemy. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just move freely again this morning. And that each and every one would be encouraged and built up and strengthened in their walk. Thank you for the opportunity that lies before us as we walk out these doors. And we're just looking forward to hearing your voice. And being willing to do exactly what needs to be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we are going to be at Ray and Lisa's. If anybody is interested in being a part of that, you're welcome to come be a part of that. Otherwise, let's pray for the food. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the food. Bless it to our bodies. And those that have hands prepared it, we thank you, Lord God, that you'll multiply it and do great things with it. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. If you want prayer, come on up. We'll be glad to pray with you, okay?